Hi, everybody, and welcome to a bonus episode of Sneaky Geek.
Bonus episode!
Today we are breaking down the trailer for The Acolytes.
Oh, yeah.
Which just dropped at 8 a.m. this morning. Hopefully we will have this out before the middle of the day. Approximately, depending on what you define as the middle of the day. We are going to do a full breakdown of this whole thing. Brian, do you have the trailer pulled up so that you can scrub through it at all?
No.
Okay, well, you should do that.
Pulling
while Brian
right
is doing
now.
That, I will talk about what's going on with The Acolyte. The Acolyte takes place in the High Republic era of Star Wars. The High Republic is an era of Star Wars that takes place before the prequels by anywhere from 500 to 100 years. In fact, that's kind of the definition. But as far
lists.
As we know right now, The Acolyte will be taking place approximately 100 years before The Phantom Menace,
yeah.
Which means it is still well within the boundaries of the High Republic, but at the tail end of this era of expansion and prosperous growth and light and life.
Yeah.
Before we actually get opening this trailer, let's talk real quick. You saw an early version of this trailer, trailer.
Yeah, it was basically the Celebration...
Exclusive
trailer, yeah. So half the trailer that we saw was on that trailer, as well as a few other shots. So when this one started, I was like, oh, I hope it's not the same thing. And luckily it wasn't. But
yeah.
There's a lot of similarities and they used a lot of the same shots, but it was really well done, and it expanded on a few of them, so...
Yeah, it was cool. There was a few things I didn't see from the Celebration trailer that I saw in this, and there were more than a few things, but there were a few things in this trailer that I was hoping to see in better detail from the Celebration trailer that did not make it into this trailer.
The Nemoidians.
Yeah, where's the Nemoidians?
Yeah.
But also, I feel like there was more detail on the... group shot of the Jedi lighting up their lightsabers in the Celebration trailer.
It was almost like a different take or an alternate take.
Camera.
Or just a different camera. B camera.
Yeah.
C camera. I don't know what they got going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's a five camera sitcom show. It's just...
We're just missing that laugh track.
Yeah. No, they don't need it. They have a live studio. The Acolyte was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
For a drama.
Oh, that'd be so sad. Could you imagine a live studio audience for, like, Grey's Anatomy or something?
Oh, God.
Like, just none of the, aw, just like, oh.
Ooh.
Just, like, gasps of horror.
And a lot of crying.
So much crying. Anyway, what we did get almost in its entirety... that was in both trailers was the Carrie Ann Moss fight.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. It's very much just Trinity, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Yeah.
I mean, doing the Morpheus, stop trying to hit me and hit me. But, you know. Anyway, so let's dig in then. This whole thing opens up with a shot of younglings on the floor while a master walks around and tells them that they need to close their eyes because they can't trust them. We see mostly humans. We see a Torsant. We see... honestly, what looks like a Rodian and Abinendo like had a baby. The pilot from the sequel trilogy. You remember
Asti?
Which one?
I think
Asti. Yeah, yeah. Like it looks like Asti, except it's got big old Rodian eyes.
I think that's L.O. Asti.
Yeah. So they're
not to be confused with Hello Nasty.
No,
the Beastie Boys album.
But absolutely named for Hello Nasty,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But Asti, like Asti's species, which is an Abinendo and Torsant are there, but it's not really an Abinendo because it's got the bulbous eyes, it's Rodian. I don't know if you care that much about aliens, but I do because it's either a new alien or it's an interspecies alien, which is also very cool, which we will talk about those a little bit more in just a second. And then we see a cloaked figure walking through what is obviously supposed to look like kind of a Tory gate, which Tory gates are like outside like Shinto shrines in Japan, because they're such a very like Japanese coded thing. They obviously are all over Star Wars anyway.
Yeah,
like,
we've seen
a lot of
so many before.
Basic gates. They're supposed to, in like Japanese lore, represent this sort of transition from like the regular world to like a more spiritual sacred area. But what's cool is behind the Torii gates are buildings that look very much like pagodas. Like, that is very Japanese-inspired architecture going on back there, which is super cool. So we see this purple-cloaked figure walking through, and then she's walking through a crowd. We see some extras bouncing around a little excited. We see some people making, you know, sales, etc. I'm sure someone's saying Rising Moons, and then somebody else is buying a Ronto rep. And then we cut back to Coruscant, the Jedi Temple, unless you know of another city that looks like that in the background of a room that looks like it's lifted directly from the prequels. We see more of our wee ones, and then she walks in, and there's aliens eating. And he says, what is the exact line? And then the little he asks what they see. And I didn't notice this before, but Vernestra's standing right behind her.
Oh.
When she says life, and she's being Hermione Granger over here. What do you see? Good stuff? Because that's what I'm supposed to see because I'm a Jedi? Kiss ass. That's a kiss ass right there. Anyway, but look, right behind her is Vernestra Rowe.
Uh-huh.
Like, everyone's focused on the little girl, but Vernestra Rowe's standing right behind her.
Straight up in the back there. Good find.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, we're not seeing Vernestra Rowe. Oh, we see her twice.
I wonder if that initial, we'll get to it later in the trailer, but like, she walks in through a door. I wonder if this is it.
Oh my God, if that's just the same shot, just reorganized, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And then we're walking through the saloon. Balance sounds like it's being said by a different kid, actually, but not that that really matters, but you know, this is
like they're all just kind of speaking up in class. Like, what do you feel? Well, what do you feel?
But also, this is a Star Wars trailer, which is known to splice dialogue together to make things seem the way that they
Hell, even video too. In fact, they did that with the Last Jedi trailer where they moved some scenes around, but also changed the color of some scenes.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we adjusted some lightsaber colors and things like that.
Mm.
And then this little girl says, I see fire. And that's the one we're rooting for, obviously.
The Ralph Wiggum kind of line? Yeah.
Burn them. Burn them all. Burn the house down. Yeah, so she's over here going, I see fire. And it's interesting because in a bit, we see, like, immediately after we see her, the little girl, we cut over to Carrie Ann Moss, looks over and sees, well, we don't know what she sees, but then suddenly she's fighting Amanda Stenberg.
Yeah.
And we get this really awesome reveal with some amazing just, this is a podcast, and I'm doing the
He's doing the Mac. Blah,
blah, blah, blah. Also the Mac. But she's fighting no lightsaber in this combat, which I absolutely love that.
It's like a knife or maybe a vibroblade kind of thing. Kind of hard to see if it's vibrating or not, but like, it's definitely a knife.
Yeah, she's definitely coming at her with a knife while Carrie Ann Moss is just deflecting and twisting and doing all sorts of cool Trinity stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for her to put on the leather and the sunglasses. Slick that hair back with 4 pounds of gel.
Yeah.
We get the reveal of May, which it seems like that's heavily hinting, and maybe this girl is no one. Maybe this isn't even a flashback to when Vern was around.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're thinking, that this intro scene with the Padawans or the younglings is a flashback.
But if it isn't, then that would be really cool if that would be that's the same girl. I don't want to get too into fan theories because, like, I will speculate, but I don't encourage anybody getting married to any speculation because all that does is lead to disappointment because you cannot be right 100% of the time.
Every time, yep.
So we get May, but it's interesting that she says I see fire because shortly after, later in this trailer, we see a character that very much looks like May in silhouette running through a forest on fire.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to a new scene, someone in a dark corridor. They come around the corner to see a Jedi standing in all white, and what looks to be May goes in for a stab, and then it cuts away.
Yeah.
Then we get a reveal of Jeki and Yord. Yord is a Jedi Knight.
Yep. He's got a yellow lightsaber. He's also the one that's talking during the trailer.
The one about Jedi being killed.
Yeah. I have subtitles on, and it says Yord, and it says something is killing the Jedi.
Subtitles is a smart idea. Okay. I didn't bring subtitles on because I downloaded my video.
Mm.
But yeah, something's killing the Jedi. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yord, according to the database, the Star Wars data bank.
Yeah. Which was just updated this morning.
Go and check it out. But Yord is allegedly a strict rule follower and very by the book Jedi to the point that it kind of gets in his own way.
Yeah.
Jeki, who is relatively mature for her age, apparently, is half Thielen and half human.
That's cool.
Which is neat because I feel like we haven't seen, other than Jason.
Is Jason Syndulla?
Is Jason Syndulla?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe it was Jason Doom. It could have been. Yeah. Or Jason Jarrus. Jason Jarrus Syndulla? Well, hyphenate. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jason Syndulla is only...
He's half human, half Twi'lek.
And half human.
And we've seen a few of those in the Clone Wars as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the clone troopers.
One of the clone troopers who goes AWOL and has a family. But we've seen the compatibility or lack thereof of various couplings, which is kind of cool. And then Thielens are part of that original trilogy and prequel situation where much of the aliens are, it's a human, but green. It's a human, but bald.
Yeah.
And
it's a human
with white skin.
With scales or something.
Yeah, like where the facial structure, the skull and everything is basically the same, except there's Leku coming out or they got bumps on their foreheads, which is, honestly, it's very Star Trek in that regard. Like, oh, it's a human, but he's got ridges on his head, or it's a human, but he's got pointy ears.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got and super dark pointy eyebrows, but there is a Thielen that we've seen before in the special edition of Return of the Jedi.
Ooh.
She's in the band with she's a backup singer for Sice Noodles,
right?
With the Max Rebo band,
yeah, classic.
Anyway, so we've got Jeki. She's a Padawan, and she's apparently Master Sol's Padawan.
Yeah. Who's the one that's talking in the intro? Yeah.
Yes, Master Sol, who's played by Jaejung Lee or Lee Jaejung. It depends on how you deal with surnames in your language, really. But Jeki is very much mature for her age. But I know that on set, she and Yord are kind of clowns, and apparently they broke a lightsaber at one point.
She broke three.
She
was saying, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those interviews are great.
Yeah, there's a bunch of interviews from Celebration last year that we watched recently that kind of go into their on-set dynamic, which I love hearing about that. Like, they get along really, really well. Like, I love hearing about the tomfoolery of Ming-Na Wen. Anytime we talk about Ming-Na Wen, I just adore her personally because she's a dork like that with everybody on set, ourselves included. Hearing that there's fun happening on set always makes me feel like this has the capacity to go to really, really nice and interesting places.
Yeah.
Whereas when everybody's like serious and exhausted on set, you're only going to get irritation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my problem with method actors, et cetera. Like, if you're going to go
we've talked about that hard,
not everyone around you is going to have a good time.
Right.
So,
in fact, most people.
Most people won't. Then we have this big group shot looking over this forest from a hill. I don't know what planet this is. It's a big forest,
but it looks like there's a camp next to it that's been set up, and like they had scraps. It looks like there wasn't, you know.
Yeah, we got people just kind of roughing it.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks fairly established. It looks more like a ramshackle house, I think, than maybe a tent. But it's definitely like kind of a pile up there.
Yeah,
it looks like we have at the very least six humans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to bet some credits that is Jeki, which means one of those is probably Master.
Maybe. Oh, see, and I was thinking this could be just a completely new crew.
I don't know. She's very short, like Jeki is. There, like,
with the white hair.
Yeah, with the white hair. But most importantly, there is a Keldor in there, and I don't know how long Keldors live.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, could this be Plo Koon?
Could this be Plo Koon? Could this be some other Keldor, that because we just love Plo Koon, but like
I would love for both to happen.
It would be nice to see another Keldor, but I would very happily get some Plo Koon.
And you know, Dave Filoni's all about Plo Koon, so
yeah, I don't know how much of a hand Dave had in this. I'm fairly confident that at the very least, they're trying really hard to make sure that these are cohesive and work together with the entirety of what's going on in the cinematic side of Star Wars. But like Andor feels very separate,
right?
In that regard, and I don't
feel
like
it's supposed to.
I think it is too, but it's also kind of void of aliens, which I was really happy to see this have as many aliens as it does. Because, right. like, Andor goes to a prison, right? And does a whole prison riot. Mm-hmm. Not a single person in that prison is non-human.
Yeah.
Like, we don't see a single alien jump off into the water. And we know
the Empire hates aliens.
I mean, maybe they put them into, so like, it
could be a separate
less
camp
technological.
Or, yeah. And we know they use Wookiees and other strong species as, like, miners, slaves.
Right, right. Spice mines, yeah. et cetera, kind of thing. It's not entirely clear.
Yeah.
But
we got a whole bunch of aliens here, though.
Yeah, there's a ton in this. There's still a ton of humans, too. But and then we get, yeah. oh, my gosh, Kalnaka.
Yeah.
He looks so cool. He's got this very classic...
So Kalnaka looks like he's amongst trees, so I wonder if it's the same scene. Or maybe they're going to search for him, because the data bank online says that he's kind of a recluse.
Yeah.
That he likes to go off on his own.
Like, shaved head, but the bun coming over the top. Mm. He's got a chonmage, is what it's called. It's a traditional Japanese top knot worn by men, commonly associated with the Edo period. So, you know, your samurai era kind of thing. And
hell yeah.
Leslie Headland has said that, like, kung fu movies and samurai films are very much her inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is really cool, because it's a nice divergence from strictly samurai and cowboy movies.
Because,
like, Favreau... and Filoni's in like additions to the live action stuff, all the Mando things and Boba Fett, very much derive from samurai, and I feel like more so
a lot of cowboy
westerns.
Yeah,
that and I think that's Favreau. Mm-hmm. Favreau's influence, I think, is really the western side of things.
Yeah,
more so than like George, who came from the samurai side of things. And samurai films are the inspiration for Western films in so many ways. Like, Samurai 7 is the Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same movie. I feel like it's neat that we're still adhering to this, like, let's take inspiration from this isolated era of East Asia and the cinematic, like, world that has been built around this sort of era that has given it this aura of mysticism.
Right.
But it's cool that they're going... Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, House of Flying Daggers
and style. They very much said that the action sequences are more stylized towards Chinese...
Martial arts,
yeah.
Yeah, Amandla Stenberg, who plays Mei, said that as soon as she got the call, she went in to start taking Wing Chun.
Yeah.
Like, she started her kung fu training pretty quick. And apparently a lot of the kung fu that's in here is wushu. It's really cool. So anyway, back to not Buriaga. Kalnaka, who is allegedly they've confirmed it, who is a reclusive Jedi, according to the databanks, is somewhere on a forested world, possibly the same one. It'd be cool if that was Kashyyyk, but the trees look different.
They're too small.
They're too skinny.
Yeah.
They're extremely tall, but they're kind of skinny. Mm-hmm. But then again, every time we see a new biome, we assume it's a different planet and not you know,
something we've seen before.
100 miles away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you go, I don't know, 1,000 miles away from Mos Eisley on Tatooine, you're going to be in another desert.
Yeah.
Like, that's that.
Yeah.
If you go 1,000 miles away from the Sahara Desert, you're going to be in, like...
The water
in the or... ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, just a couple... Like, it's not a long journey.
Depends on the direction, yeah.
At least when you have... ships and that can fly to get from some place that looks like Croatia to some place that looks like Italy, like Naboo, to a place that looks like Tatooine. But in Star Wars, every biome is kind of a different thing. So if the forest is slightly different, it very well is a different forest. Like the Kashyyyk is very much like the banyan trees, like the big, big, thick, trunked things you can build tree houses in.
Oh, yeah.
But that's more... That's like dense jungle, but not necessarily forest,
right.
which is indoor, you know?
Yeah.
We cut then to, or back to Master Sol interviewing this curly-haired man. And when I say interviewing, it looks like he's doing a bit of a mind trick on him.
Yeah.
Calms him down, it looks like, which I don't remember seeing that anywhere else in at least the Skywalker saga, but it's been kind of a thing in the High Republic that using the mind trick, not to like convince them to say something else, but just to be like, hey, you need to not be panicking.
Yeah.
I need actual information and I don't want you like freaking out.
Yeah.
And then he asks what happened. And then we jump to a new planet of some sort. Gosh, so many planets in this.
Mm-hmm. It looks so pretty. Like kind of hard to see, but it's almost like a large fortress or a castle next to a ocean. a sea, but like cliffside.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite Maz Kanata status.
And not quite Ochto status, but somewhere in between.
Yeah.
As far as biome and structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Mei fighting some more.
Yeah, with Master Soul.
With Master Soul. And she, and I just paused it on her trying to go in for the kick and him stopping her.
Mm-hmm.
She looks very concerned as she looks him in the eye. And then they keep fighting. And it says, in an age of light. And then in walks Vern.
Yeah. And he's using the force to open the doors, which is cool.
Yeah. And then we get the teeniest, tiniest shot of Manny Jacinto. Yeah, we get this tiny shot of Jason Mendoza. According to the databank, his character is named Kimir.
I think it's Kimir.
But we get this tiny short shot of him.
He's a smuggler.
According to the databank, he is a smuggler turned traitor. And that's traitor, D-E-R, not traitor.
Yes.
And just kind of... Yeah, sort of this Han Solo turned Luthen character
who
used to do smuggly things, but now he deals with interesting artifact things.
Maybe, yeah.
That's what it says on the databank that that he's basically like he likes procuring weird things.
Nice.
Which makes me wonder.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
If he won, it'll be Easter egg central if we get to see the inside of his collection.
Hell yeah.
But also, I wonder if maybe he gets a hold of something that he's not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, maybe Sunshine Dobbs a little bit.
Oh?
If a group similar... Asshole. What?
Hope he's not an asshole.
No, I don't think... I don't think he will be either. My thought process is Sunshine Dobbs is a smuggler who, like, can get a hold of certain things, given... The next image that's about to pop up here, if there is a group that is currently trying to liberate force artifacts or anything like that, if maybe that was something he was doing.
Yeah.
If in fact that is what that is.
Maybe you just didn't know it kind of thing.
And yeah, we don't entirely know. I don't think he'll be manipulated and then, you know, because Sunshine Dobbs is a coward.
Yeah.
Like more than an asshole. He's just a coward. He's a coward who's got a huge, unhealthy crush on Mother Alicia.
On the mother,
On the mother.
Yeah.
Which...
It's like almost Thanos style with death.
Yeah.
Comics-wise.
So then we get a little three-shot of... Well, four-shot of a couple of Jedi. There's definitely, for sure, a Kel Naka and a Master Indara, which is Carrie-Anne Moss's actual name in the show. The only thing they gave her was that she's known for her intellect and physical prowess. Like, they're like, this is Indara. She's a badass.
Yeah.
No questions.
That's it. Yeah.
And then there's a couple of others there.
But they have bow and arrows, it looks like.
They do have bow and arrows. And
they don't look like Jedi. So I wonder if they're visiting someone or someone powerful.
They look vaguely like the ones who are surrounding Mother Anaseya.
Yeah.
Anaseya is apparently from some sort of coven of witches, and
coven of witches. Well, we watched an interview with the actress, and she mentioned that she's a leader of a group of women.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool. Kind of similar to the witches of Dathomir.
A little bit. And they got bows and arrows.
Yeah.
Witches of Dathomir have bows and arrows as well.
It would be cool if they're like an offshoot.
That would be cool. Or like an offshoot of that, I don't know, connected with... Now I'm fan theorying. It's hard not to, but it would be neat if it was like an offshoot of Witches of Dathomir who had joined up with an offshoot of the Path of the Open Hand.
Yeah.
And then we get more of that sweet Carrie-Anne Moss fight. Okay, look at Carrie-Anne Moss's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that bun system she's got going down?
Yeah.
She is one of the Jedi on the planet overlooking the forest.
Yeah.
That is definitely the same hair.
It almost gives a little bit of Rey vibes with her hair.
A little bit.
Not totally.
But also a little bit of End of New Hope.
Yeah, that's what it... Yeah,
Leia vibes, which is probably what inspired the ceremony. Rey vibes. But yeah, that to me is enough evidence to go, okay, she's one of the Jedi overlooking the forest for sure.
Yeah. And then we get the full shot of...
Mother Anaseya.
Yeah, full shot of Mother Anaseya.
Yeah, and she's surrounded by other women. She's got her hands open. I'm sure that's probably just to mislead people like me and make me freak out because it looks like she's about to tell me about gifts freely given. but the other women around her are also putting their hands up. And I mean, this is a very common thing. You see it every time, like, our God is an awesome God plays in church. Mm-hmm. But like, the, you know, they're definitely doing this sort of lift up thing.
Yeah.
This is raise a podcast and I'm raising the roof for Mother Anasea. Anasea, 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 Anasea. There is. She has that, that line about who has the power.
That's right.
Okay, then we see this shot of this girl with bangs and dreads, just like Maze, running through a burning forest.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's that's the same forest that we've
seen. I just had that thought too. Yeah. And then we get a ship crashing, just to remind us that this is Star Wars and there's spaceships, you know, and we got big spaceships and stuff. And it's crashing on some sort of ice planet with lots of rocks. Mm-hmm. You know, the Alps planet.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Himalayas planet.
Yeah, it definitely looks different than Hoth and different from the ice moon that Mandalorian and Grogu crashed on in season 2.
Yeah, this is much more, my cousin Balin would give us a warm welcome, you know, planet. And then we have Master Sol and Yord and probably Jeki.
Probably, yeah.
I couldn't quite tell because it was blurry, but
it's a quick shot too.
It's a very quick shot, stumbling through the snow, looking very upset, which it looks actiony and cool and distressing. So it's just enough to get your subconscious going, ooh, what's happening? Are they okay? And then we see this line, or then we hear this line being spoken by Mother Anasea with her fantastic hair.
Mm-hmm.
We get a nice close up on her face. We see that there's a line that goes up her face. And then this is a podcast and I'm tracing it on my face. And then right between her eyes, it starts a path, a sort of spiral, infinity spiral that eventually goes into a yin yang symbol.
Yeah.
You can see there's two dots and they're like, there's balance there, which is interesting. But she talks about how this is about power and who gets to wield it. And I know Leslie Headland had talked about in a couple of different interviews, this being kind of an underdog story, but the Jedi are not the underdogs here.
Yeah. And they've said a few of the actors and even Leslie too, who's the showrunner creator, mentioned that this is kind of the bad guy story.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting because we know the Jedi kind of have to win.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, that kind of just turns this into a tragedy.
Yeah.
Then we get a nice shot of Mei without her mask on, wearing some cool purple robes, got some cool chest armor on.
But it looks like it's the same place that the, I guess that fortress looking thing?
Yeah, that fortress where the ship flew in. So the ship flew into the fortress area. This is definitely the same biome, or she's on Ochto. You get one of two choices. She's going to go milk one of those things and drink the green milk. Then she looks up at somebody standing and looking off at the ocean. And like, my heart wants that person to be an Evereni.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But I don't know that we'll get that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a cool looking, I mean, they could just do a switcheroo too. Like, this could be two different scenes. But the rock formation is really cool. It's all black rock. Yeah, almost like volcano. Yeah. I noticed it first because I just got back from Iceland a couple weeks ago. And like, it was the coolest thing seeing this kind of rock. So I was like, ooh, pretty rocks again.
Take me back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's standing there. He's wearing a large cloak. No idea if it's a robe because he's just a silhouette, so you can't quite tell.
And I wonder if they fixed that in post. To
there could also be three people there.
They also that. Yeah, know? There's enough room. I mean, it's a legit shot of just the person there standing, but like, there could be multiple people there.
We just got to wait for the Brazilian trailer to see, you know, somebody punch the lizard that isn't there.
That isn't there. So good.
For those of you who don't remember, the Brazilian, it was the Brazilian, I want to say.
I think so.
I'm fairly certain it was Brazilian. Of the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, their version of the trailer involved a slightly longer cut where the lizard got kicked in the face, but nothing was kicking him in the face.
Yeah.
And they hadn't revealed there were going to be multiple Spider-Man yet. So it was like, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel who was like, hey, what's happening here? It was him. Or, it was either Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon. One of the Jimmies was like, hey, what's going on here?
That's right.
Who's kicking the lizard in the face? And they had to like kind of dodge the question. So maybe we'll just get we'll have to wait for some, you know, other country to get their trailer to see if we can get more information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that leads to a fade out. And then we see another Jedi we don't know. And then Yord and Jeki. And then boom, red lightsaber comes flying yes. through. What red lightsaber? Oh, snap. And then Master Soul gets out a lightsaber and he's standing next to an exceptionally handsome man. And then everybody else pulls out their lightsabers and they start
all
running.
Sorts of colors.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. At least 7 lightsabers running to go take out whatever that
I
was.
See 8 in this shot.
In this shot, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yep, uh-huh. You're right. There was an 8th.
There's 3 yellows and
3 greens.
3 greens and 2 blues.
2 blues.
And, a red.
And they might change that. They might very yeah, right. well be like, nah, we're actually gonna make that guy's
they're all red.
Blue. They're all red. Oh, God. But they're all running at somebody, and then they get whacked, blown back. Ooh. They get blown back, wrecked. But we see between the legs there is a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. All right, I don't want to jump to conclusions, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a space in the middle of the lightsaber.
It could be double bladed.
Oh. It doesn't appear to. I don't know. It just seems like it's a little long for a light. Aren't you a little long for a lightsaber?
Yeah.
We can see between his legs there's just this moment where it's like, ooh, there's a lightsaber. Now, it could just be smoke blocking it, you know, in
but
the middle
still,
of the shot.
But even still, with the angle and... But there is precedent for longer lightsabers.
It's possible. It's possible we're getting a double blade.
Yeah.
And then we get new title with a little spinning O, and it says The Acolyte with a 2-episode premiere on June 4th.
Yeah.
What are you excited about, Brian?
The show.
Anything specific? Anything that you're specifically looking forward to?
Yes and no. I think I'm just as excited for this one as I was for Ahsoka. And
oh,
I was
wow.
really excited for Ahsoka. The Star Wars Explained crew mentioned that this is outside the Star or the Skywalker era of stuff, and that's what excites me about it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what got me into Star Wars anyways, was yeah, I like the Skywalker era. They didn't really call it the Skywalker saga until 3 years ago when Rise of Skywalker came out, which was weird, but
right.
that's a whole nother podcast. But I loved all the other stuff that didn't really involve a lot of the Skywalkers. I mean, Thrawn trilogy and everything after aside and all the kids. But yeah, I really dug the early stuff, like the Dawn of the Jedi and the Old Republic stuff. And I think that's why I really like the High Republic, because it's very, very much a new era. And there's new characters, there's new storylines. So I think that's what excites me most. Like some of the cast and crew were saying, it's a dark sider... centric story, like
right.
It's a bad guy story.
Yeah,
so that's super cool and new that we haven't really seen much in Star Wars.
Yeah, Molly Damon on the Star Wars Explained show was talking about how like we can't stay here in the Skywalker yeah. saga forever. Like
right.
we have to branch out.
Yeah,
and I know that like I really really like the High Republic as far as just being a refreshing look at something in the Star Wars universe that follows the rules of the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I mean, obviously some of the rules, like as far as the rules of how things work, yes, as far as the rules of how like their society works, how that structure works, that's obviously open and available to change. But I really like being able to visit that universe in a time that exists outside of this very much well-known story
yeah.
structure, because you when you get far enough away from it, no one's safe anymore.
Right.
You know, when you know that so-and-so is going to be, you know, when you know Anakin's going to turn into Darth Vader, no episode of the Clone Wars will ever have you worrying about the safety of Anakin.
Yeah.
We didn't know what was going to happen to Ahsoka.
Right.
So for us, because the Clone Wars was so detached in that regard, we knew that the clones weren't all going to make it, but mm-hmm. we were allowed to kind of explore these new eras,
yeah.
these new spaces within the Skywalker saga. But you can only do that so many times before it's like, this story has to remain tiny in order for it to not be impacted mm-hmm. by all of the huge things we already know about.
Right.
A gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens gives us a lot of room, but we also mm-hmm. know that during that time we're not supposed to have a ton of conflict
mm-hmm.
because otherwise why didn't we just talk about that? Why didn't we just have movies about that? So it's neat for me personally to go to the High Republic, but then to go just beyond the High Republic. Like the High Republic yeah. is untouched Star Wars. This is also untouched Star Wars. Yeah. And even though it's technically within the High Republic, it's that tail end into an era that the only thing we really know about that era is, oh, Dooku was born.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So I think, for me, that's, I think, what I'm the most excited about, is just to see Star Wars through a lens that still very much loves the EU. I'm, after reading all the interviews with Leslie Headland and some of the things that she referenced, you know, she came into Star Wars with the special editions, which, that's fine. I came in...
That's what I did.
I came in before the special editions for sure, because we had them on VHS, but the special editions are really what got me back in.
Yeah.
So, you know, no issues there. Other than she doesn't know the true glory of... What's that record you just got? Laptineck? Yeah, Laptineck.
Laptineck?
Yeah, yeah. Laptineck. She doesn't know the glory of Laptineck probably as well as we now do, now that Brian has that record.
Yeah.
But going from that into, like, Heir to the Empire and wanting to bring in a Zygerian Jedi and things like that, and wanting to introduce a new species, but coming from a place that says... expanding the universe does not mean we have to tell the same Skywalker story again and again and again. Coming from someone whose love of Star Wars really grew in a way similar to John's and yours and myself, that went, oh, we can go beyond this and see all this other stuff, and we can weave this rich tapestry that is Star Wars without exclusively sticking just to what was Mark Hamill doing?
Yeah.
You know, and no disrespect to the Skywalker saga. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched Clone Wars all the way through like 2.5 times, and Rebels 2.5 times at minimum. And
it's time to move on.
It's exactly like, and I think, and I'm wrong. I'm excited for what's going on with Mando and all the things that's going on there too.
Oh yeah.
But I would, I'm really excited to branch out in such a big public way.
Yeah.
Because not everybody reads reads Star Wars books. I mean, that's just been the case since Star Wars books were Star Wars books. Yeah. People talk about the sales of the High Republic, and it's like, yeah, but what was the sale of Heir to the Empire?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, all that kind of stuff.
They're books and comics. They're a niche section of a niche geek fandom.
Yeah. And people are reading comics less now these days than they were 20 years ago in general anyways. Yeah. So,
but sadly. I mean, walk around anywhere... Any school looking at the backpacks, any car with bumper stickers, and there's Mando stuff going on.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
And regular Skywalker Saga stuff, too, is everywhere. So I'm excited that something that is on the same publishing scale as Disney Plus is coming out that is going to say, hey, there's more to Star Wars than just this.
Right.
And unlike certain shows like House of the Dragon, I think they deserve it to go to a big prequel era where we don't entirely know everything that's going to go on.
That show's so good.
It doesn't deserve to exist.
It doesn't deserve to be as good as it is, but goddamn it is. I'm very excited for season 2. Anyways.
But yeah, so that long-winded way of saying I'm excited to see the High Republic get its due. And I'm excited to see somebody, a team of people who really do like the EU... push for that, because Dave has talked about bringing in EU things. Obviously, he brought in Thrawn. Dave obviously sure gets it.
Yeah,
but he doesn't necessarily talk much about what goes on in the books in the EU.
Yeah,
and what happened in Legends.
Right,
but Leslie Headland absolutely does.
Yeah, and so in fact, I'm really she mentioned reading Heir to the Empire in the Star Wars interview she did.
Yeah,
on the website.
Yeah, like an interview for this show.
Yeah,
that dropped today. Mm-hmm. She's like, I loved Heir to the Empire. Yeah. Like, that's a big win for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And maybe she's just saying all the right things. We'll find out. To me, I'm very excited. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah,
and this trailer definitely has me hyped.
So epic.
Anyway, you got anything else you want to say?
No. I think just, yeah, I can't wait for this show. Two-episode premiere.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I hope these are long episodes, too.
Yeah, I hope so.
I really want that kind of Andor... length more than like
45 minutes to an hour each.
The occasional like 25 minute episode of Mando.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. I want more, and often it's not because I'm left wanting more, but because I'm not getting enough.
I'm greedy. Give me more.
I'm greedy. Show me the great dragon from 7 different angles. I don't care. Anyway, that's that. So yeah, go watch the trailer on YouTube if you haven't already. I'm sure you were following along and watching it and pausing it with us all, the whole way. That makes perfect sense. And if you weren't, then that's fine. Thank you for listening. And we hope that you enjoyed this. All right. Yeah.
And if you did, and you want to know more about the High Republic, boy, do we have a podcast for you.
Heck yeah, we do. Brian, tell them about it.
We have a High Republic podcast called The Starlight Archive.
What?
Yeah. So we have a couple episodes out right now.
Third episode's dropping this week.
Yep. And we're going through the comics, the books, kind of giving you a general overview of what's going on. And then we'll also do a spoilery episode in case you really want to know what's going on. And that should kind of lead you up and see what may or may not end up in the Acolyte. Speaking of which, there is a character from the books that appeared for Nestor Roe. We talked about her a little bit, but her intro was in the comics and the books of the High Republic. And we're definitely going to do a big old Vern episode to kind of catch you up, see what you need to read going up into it, and just to get excited or even more excited.
I'd love to do a Vern episode and a full Acolyte lead up. So I think that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because I've put it into the universe, and the universe will hopefully be kind.
Yeah.
And by the universe, I mean Brian. Us. You want to do another one?
Yeah.
It's us. We get to make that call.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's do an Acolyte episode.
Yeah.
An Acolyte lead up episode a little closer to the show.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. And then we'll do a Vern Nestor Roe episode, just specifically what her arc was getting her to the Acolyte as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so that way you have everything that we can possibly give you in that time period.
Yeah.
We got 2 months until that time comes, two and a half months.
Means you got to catch up a little bit.
I need to finish phase two.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it as best I can. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to find us on Discord. Find us on @SneakyGeekPodcast on Instagram. Also look up the Starlight Archive podcast on Instagram. And make sure to find us wherever you're listening to your podcast. Search those other boys and follow them too so that you can be up to date when our episodes drop.
Mm-hmm.
And in the words of the little youngling that might very well be May, I see fire.
Shit's fire, yo.
And in the words of Ralph Wiggum, I see the force. It tells me to burn things. Sneaky Geek is hosted by Bryce Rankins and Brian Romero. This episode was edited by Bryce Rankins. Our logo and website were designed by Allie Nimmons. Our theme song was written and produced by Skylar Johnson. Copyright 2024, Sneaky Geek Media, all rights reserved.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. The Starlight Archive. Hosts Bryce Rankins and Brian Romero embark on a journey into the depths of Lucasfilm's multimedia storytelling initiative, The High Republic. Every week, they venture into uncharted territories of literature and comics, exploring the rich tapestry of this era with meticulous detail. The Starlight Archive, a new podcast brought to you from the people who brought you Sneaky Geek.
Are you curious about the High Republic?
Do you know what the High Republic is?
How many books are in the High Republic?
How many wars are actually in the Star?
When does the High Republic take place?
Do you want to just read the comics? Do you want someone to do this for you?
If you asked any of these questions, then you should totally listen to the Starlight Archive.
Starlight Archive is your one-stop shop to find out what's going on in the High Republic.
It can be a little daunting taking on a multimedia storytelling initiative like the High Republic, especially with so little time between now and the Acolyte. With this podcast, you can either understand how all that information works together so that you can move quickly through this in a meaningful and exciting and rewarding way, or you can listen to our spoilery episodes and we'll cover all that information for you. The Starlight Archive, the best Griffin podcast this side of no space. Available anywhere you listen to podcasts.